Europe in my backyard.
L'Europa in casa nostra.
Europa in mi casa.
Un'inchiesta radiofonica sulla politica di coesione europea.
Radijsko poručanje o evropski kohezijski politiki.
Europe in my backyard.
So, hello and welcome to Europe in my backyard. I'm Paula Wiseman, and over the course of the following weekly programmes, we're going to be hearing about the many ways in which European cohesion policy impacts us all on our daily lives. So today, I'm lucky enough to be joined by Travis O'Doherty, the EU Programme Manager and Team Leader at the Eastern and Midland Regional Assembly. So, hey, Travis, how are you?
Hi, good, thanks. It's great to be here and thanks for the opportunity.
No worries at all. So, do you want to tell us a little bit about the EMRA initially and your own work within the organisation?
Yeah, so the Eastern and Midland Regional Assembly are based in Ballymun. And we cover 12 local authorities. So we cover Dublin and the Midlands and the Greater Dublin region. And we're an organisation that deals with planning and EU functions. We produce our main document is our regional spatial and economic strategy. But we also sit in monitoring committee for a number of EU programmes. And we have, crucially, the contact point for URBACT programme.
Mm-hmm.
And so I provide that national contact point. And what it is the programme is centrally managed from Paris. The Secretariat managed the programme. But most EU countries have a contact point to promote URBACT in each country in their own language and to their own events and to support the networks that are existing and to try and encourage local authorities to apply for funding under URBACT. So we've had this role since 2017 and I've recently returned to it. My colleague Mike Brennan was doing it previously. So only the last 2 months I've returned to it. So it's great to be back and to see the good work that's been happening. So it's a very nice program, actually. It's great managing authority in Paris and a small team, but they do great work.
Yeah. So do you want to, for anybody that's not heard of URBACT, can you maybe tell us a little bit about what it all is?
Yeah, so it's a program about integrated sustainable urban development.
Mm.
Basically, it allows towns, villages, cities to come together to find shared solutions for different problems. And it covers all areas of urban development, whether it's kind of more social, economic or environmental. So basically, cities come together, they learn from each other and they develop good practices and transfer practices from one city to another. But crucially, it's about the bottom-up approach. It's not about top-down. It's about different community groups coming together from the bottom up, setting up what they call an URBACT local group, and basically developing strategies and implementing good practices through that group spontaneously from the bottom up rather than top-down. This URBACT method, it's a participatory method where everyone gets together and shares their views. So that's a crucial part of the URBACT program and something that kind of distinguishes it from other EU funding programmes. So it's a very important part.
Yeah, so I mean, who would be eligible for the URBACT funding? What kind of groups and organisations would come to you?
It's mainly local authorities are eligible. But so the local authorities usually would manage the programme, but in that URBACT local group that I mentioned, there'd be all kinds of community representation, such as, you know, tidy towns groups, community local community development associations, all kinds of sports partnerships, different community groups. Depends on the nature of the problem that the network are looking at, but all kinds of community groups would participate in that local group. And there's great supports from URBACT through the URBACT of experts, and that can support and guide the network and share different sessions and help write the produce an integrated action plan. That's the main output of an URBACT network. So there's great supports there in achieving that, but it's targeted really at local authorities as the partners.
Yeah, so I'm assuming that not everybody that applies for funding would get it. I mean, is it quite a strict process for receiving funding?
Yeah, it is quite a strict, so same as a lot of EU programs. There's typically the way it works is that there'll be a call announced. So the URBACT Secretariat announced we're setting up a call for projects, and they'll produce terms of reference and a guide. So it'll all be very clear, you know, what can be funded, what can't be funded, how to set up a network. And typically, actually, a lot of partners are a little hesitant about, you know, one of the first questions is how did they find partners across Europe?
Yeah.
And that's part of my role to put local authorities in touch with other contact points and other organizations across Europe to find a partnership. Typically, they usually develop a website where you can post an idea. So you can say, I'm interested in either leading a network or joining a network on a certain topic, and then find partners from that. And there'll be training, there'll be webinars, there'll be different supports provided, and there'll be like a helpline and an email address for support. And that call will typically be open for maybe a 6-8 week period. And you develop your proposal, and then there'll be a kind of a 6 month period to further develop that. You work, an expert will work with you, and you'll get more partners, and you'll do a baseline study and start implementing a plan for the actions. And then the actual actions will take a 24 month period, but there's loads of supports available. So whether you're new to the program or you've done it before, the supports are available there. So it's,
I'm guessing putting a proposal together is not just, do you know what I mean, you just sit down and write a list of stuff that you need. I mean, is it quite a big process? Do you help people with the proposal process?
We can help people, and it's about defining the problem, what you need to be addressed, what the current state of play is, you know, what's the baseline and why. Defining really why you need support from Urbact. So typically you'll be with 7 to 10 other cities looking at a problem, but all the cities will be looking at that problem in a slightly different way, in a slightly different context. So you can basically learn from other cities. It's great. It's a great opportunity, but also, of course, you get to travel. Typically you get to travel to all the different cities throughout the 2 year of the project, and actually get to see hands-on what they're doing and how they're addressing their problems, and develop that into your own integrated action plans. That's another great benefit of the program.
Yeah, so I mean, it's basically Europe wide. Pretty much the whole of Europe is included in Urbact.
All of Europe, yeah.
Wow.
And even some outside of Norway and Switzerland can participate at reduced funding rates. And even the new countries, the accession countries that are looking to join, they can partners as well. So it's pretty broad coverage, and it's and the topics are extremely broad as well. So there's something really for everybody there.
Yeah, I mean, can you maybe give us some examples of Urbact networks in Ireland?
Yeah, there's loads of examples. There's about 17 in the current program.
Oh, wow.
So the program's been going since 2002, and even before then it was in a different format. So every 6 years it kind of changes. That follows the kind of EU funding framework. And so we're currently in the Urbact 3 program, they call. The Urbact 4 will be starting the end of this year. So in Urbact 3, there's a huge range of networks. So to just give you a few examples, the Playful Park is an interesting one. Cork are partners in that. It's basically about using play to achieve the strategic aims of the local authority. So they've basically closed off streets in Cork and developed play activities using all kinds of tools. Maybe say, for example, Jenga, or they chalk out areas for play. And it's not guided play. It's literally, they put the materials down, they close off a street, and they allow the people to come in and develop the activities themselves. It's not guided, and it's worked incredibly successfully. So successfully, there's another a national practice transfer initiative where 5 other towns in Ireland are looking to transfer the learnings from Cork into those 5 towns. That's a really successful example. Another one on urban kind of urban green space and urban agriculture is from Carlow. Actually, I visited there last week, and there's Ungardín Bio. It's a community garden project, and there's a community center. There's gardens all run from the bottom up by the community. They grow their own vegetables. They have different areas for like contemplation and for running events. They have a clay oven where they bring people from the community in, and they organize events. And it's 4 or 5 acres. It's a big site within Carlow that's the Urbact network is tapping into and helps inform that. So it's really successful. There's loads more. Dún Laoghaire Rath Domhain. I know you're looking at examples kind of more within Leinster.
Yeah.
So Dunne Laoghaire Rathdown have good long history of participation in IRBACT. They were on one called Change, which looked at kind of citizen engagement in public services. And now that one's finished. Now they've a new one, which is Tourism Friendly Cities. Of course, tourism is huge in Dunne Laoghaire, and they're looking at how to mitigate the negative impacts of tourism on the area. So really very broad and very interesting. Longford were partners in one, MAPS, Military Assets as Public Spaces. Basically, the local authority were given the military, the former military barracks, Connolly Barracks in, and they used the IRBACT network to involve the IRBACT group and to develop a plan for that military barracks. And it was very successful. They got the minister to launch that plan. They got a lot of publicity, and it was a very successful network. And then they went on to their now partners in another one called Urban Security about tackling antisocial behaviour. A very, very good project. So there's so many examples. Actually, the best way to search the examples, the IRBACT website, IRBACT.eu, and then you can click networks and you can filter. You can filter by, say, team if you're looking for a certain theme, or by country if you have the Irish examples. There's literally hundreds of examples.
So how important do you think this EU funding as a thing is for Ireland?
I think it's really important. It's important for learning, for development. Like, there's so much we can learn from other cities across Europe.
And, yeah, definitely. You know,
they're all tackling kind of similar, the same problem in an IRBACT network, but they're all looking at it in different ways. Some of them, say, for example, if we're looking at the example in Cork there, or the example in Rush or Carlow, they're bottom-up community-driven projects. But some countries don't have the same structures that Ireland has, and they're actually quite empty of Ireland's, the voluntary and community sector in Ireland, and it's more top-down, whereas a local authority may have to do a lot more work, or it's or maybe national government or regional authority. So when we visit a lot of other countries, they're quite envious of our community and voluntary sector and how active it is. And what's the beauty of many of the networks is this IRBACT local group with all the local stakeholders, many of the projects that group continues after the project finishes. And that's like a permanent structure that's been set up, very effective. And that's a huge, huge thing for the towns and villages. And they go on to often look at other funding streams, whether it's national funding streams from Creative Ireland or whatever, sports partnership funding, other EU funds are often, we have a very high success rate of once a local authority is a partner in IRBACT, they go on like for further IRBACT funding. So clearly, IRBACT are doing something right in that. It's also a great stepping stone for other, because it's a smaller program and it doesn't fund capital infrastructure. It's this IRBACT method. It funds this transfer learning. So it's easier from an administrative perspective, and it's often we get a lot of local authorities that don't have a huge amount of experience in EU projects that participate in IRBACT networks. And then that's a stepping stone to either participating more in IRBACT or other EU funding streams. So it's really successful. And another huge point is with many of these EU programs, there's a population limit, say a similar pro urban innovation actions is kind of a little bit similar to IRBACT.
Right, right.
But 50,000 population threshold. So that means only the cities in Ireland are eligible for urban innovation actions. As IRBACT, there's no lower population limit. So we have towns and villages with less than, you know, with 1,500 to 2,000 people who are partners in IRBACT networks. And that's really attractive for Irish local authorities. That's a big selling point, and that's something that really has developed interest in IRBACT in Ireland. So,
yeah. I mean, you spoke earlier about the NPTI, the National Practice Transfer Initiative. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and what that involves?
Yeah, that's a brand new initiative. So it kicked off, there's five countries. So this is within a country. So normally IRBACT networks, you have you typically say 6 to 12 partners, all different countries in Europe, like East Europe, West, North, South Europe, and less developed and more developed regions, all learning from each other.
Right.
But this new National Practice Transfer Initiative is within Ireland. So basically that initiative I mentioned in Cork, the Playful Paradigm, was so successful that we wrote an application to transfer that to five other towns in Ireland. So they are Rathdrum in Wicklow, Donegal Town, Rush in North Dublin, and Sligo Town in Portlaoise. They're all interested in transferring that good practice developed in Cork to those towns.
Wow.
And Cork done excellent work in packaging what they've learned into little packages that the other towns can take on. So not all aspects are being directly transferred to those towns. Those towns pick which aspects are most relevant to them and transfer to them. So Cork have done a great job at making it accessible and transferable. And that's been going on now since June of last year.
Yeah.
And we're kind of in towards the end of that project, but it's been hugely successful. We're coming into the new program now, and we're hoping that this National Practice Transfer Initiative will also make it into the new URBAC 4 program that will be launched later this year. So that's an interesting space, that there's an evaluation of that. Those five countries are doing, Ireland is one of five countries that are doing this National Practice Transfer Initiative, and URBAC are doing an evaluation of that. And we're hoping that'll be really great praise for the work that's been going on, and that'll continue into the URBAC 4 funding program. It's very good. The lead expert there is Vessel Badenhorst, and he's facilitating fighting expertise, but it's very much from the bottom up, and it's worked really well, actually working very well.
Thank you so much for chatting with me today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure. We're delighted to get the message across, and urbac.eu website is a great source of information, or contact me through our own emra.ie website, and we're happy to help any local authorities. And actually, the urbac.eu website has basically all the information you need. There's a library there. There's everything you need is there.
So now I am joined by Aoife Sheridan, the Senior Executive Officer for Economic Development in Fingal County Council. So hey, Aoife, welcome to the programme.
Thanks very much for having me today, Paula.
No worries at all. So you're going to be talking to us today about the Let's Play Rush initiative. So do you want to tell us a little bit about it? We had Travis on the programme earlier on telling us a bit about the whole URBACT end of things. But I mean, so it started in Cork initially?
That's right, yeah. So Cork was involved in an URBACT initiative, and mostly URBACT initiatives would have EU partners. So you would have partners throughout Europe. So they were involved in a wider network of partners, learning about integrating play into policy making and how to make places more playful. So arising out of that, then they started a national transfer initiative. So they were trying to take the good practice and the lessons they learned from all their European partners and spread them out among their colleagues here in local authorities in Ireland. So they put out a call last year looking for people who were interested in participating. And Fingal County Council applied on behalf of Rush. And the reason that we were interested in it was because Fingal County Council was already involved in another URBACT programme with European partners in Balbriggan, and that was looking at economic niches. So we knew the value of URBACT and how useful it could be to have peers looking at your town and helping you to see where your blind spots were and what you could do and what the potential and the opportunities of the town were. So we knew how valuable it was, and we wanted to put Rush forward for that because they have a very strong community ethos out there.
Mm.
So we knew that this was something that, you know, they're a young town in North Dublin. They have a lot of younger people and teenagers. So we thought this would be a good fit for them. So that's why we went forward, and we were lucky enough to be selected to participate. And it's been a fantastic experience so far.
Yeah. So can you tell us about what Let's Play is?
Sure. So Cork took the best practice that they learned from their European partners, and they're trying to spread it to us. So what's really nice about this is you don't have to recreate the wheel. You don't have to come up with ideas yourself. Cork has the lessons there, and they're telling us the top 10 things that they did in terms of, you know, making places more playful.
Yeah.
And, you know, that includes, you know, play bags that they can rent out to local residents associations, chalking the streets, musical festivals. And, you know, URBACT is one of those programs that it's about doing a lot with very little. So it forces you to think creatively, you know. So So it's been really useful in that regard. And because Rush has such a strong community focus, we've been able to work really well with them and build relationships there. And Tidy Towns associations in particular are quite used to doing a lot with very little, you know. So
Rush
has a strong Tidy Towns group. So it's really useful to kind of have them on board and have them think about their place in a slightly different way. And it's really been transformative, the things that we've done. We've got the right people in the room. You have people who are coming from Fingal SIPSI, Healthy Ireland, the LCDC, and the local councillors as well have been fantastic at driving things forward and getting on board with just thinking about things differently. So it's not about putting a playground in, it's about using the space that you have. So it's looking at Kinnear Woods and seeing, could you use that better?
Yeah.
You know, could you run more events in Rush Library? And Rush Library has been absolutely fantastic with events and things that they've been doing. And, you know, using the space, like, a lot of people wouldn't know that Rush has two beautiful beaches. They got a blue flag there last week. And they've two harbours as well, you know. So it's like this hidden gem that people don't know about if they would just go beyond Malahide.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we're always hearing, aren't we? Kids, they're like, we've got nothing to do. There's nothing for us where we live. You know, what can we do? And then you've got these amazing initiatives happening in, you know, in local areas to help kids to grow, I suppose, at the end of the day.
That's right, yeah. And, you know, the great thing about this initiative is it's very much a partnership approach. You know, the local authority, we're not in control of it all. We're taking ideas from Rush Community Council, from Rush Tidy Towns, from the councillors, from the various people who are involved. And, you know, they're coming up with great ideas and new ideas about how to use space. For example, one thing that one of the members of our group has done in Rush has done a drumming circle for kids.
Right.
And it's been absolutely phenomenal. Like, you know, they have drum kits and they just go out and they bash it. And, you know, it's fantastic, you know. And we're going to be doing more drumming circles. He did the first one, I think, back in Easter and got a good response. And we're going to be doing an event on the 11th of June to coincide with Crinan an Óg. And we're not closing a street, we're opening a street to play. So we're making Chapel Green in Rush beside the Millbank Theatre a play space. So we want families and kids to come along and teenagers as well. We're going to have a couple of bands playing, local bands who are playing, and Rush Musical Society will be singing. We're going to have, you know, lots of chalk games on the street. So the street will be closed for a couple of hours, and it's to give the public realm back to the people and let the kids just play in the road the way you did when you were 4 or 5 back in the 80s and doing hopscotch and the floor is lava and all of this kind of stuff. So it's just about letting people know that the space is theirs and they can do with it as they please, you know, without having to look for permission, you know. But, you know, it's really empowering the citizens to take back the public space and know that they own it and they can use it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. There's so few spaces now for kids to play. You know, as you said, back in the day, we could just go out and do whatever in the road. There wasn't as much traffic as there is now.
Exactly. When I was young, you played in the street because there were no cars. But now there's cars everywhere and parents are a bit nervous about the dangers of that.
Yeah.
So you tend to have playgrounds which pen children in. So they're not free anymore to take risks and explore their small environment, you know. And, you know, that's such a pity. Like, you know, half the time I spent in my youth was playing curbs, you know, against the other side of the street. Somebody else probably calls that something else, but it's a wonderful thing to feel safe in your local environment and just to play. And I think one of the things that we found, particularly in Rush, has been activating Kinnear Woods. We're getting a lot more use out of it. People are aware of it. And we have a lot of new housing estates there as well. So the fact that we're having these kind of pop-up play events, it's causing the people who are moving in to Rush, who are new to the area, it's causing them to come in and get involved with the community council and with Tidy Towns and the coastal cleanup. And, you know, that's really fantastic because they're starting to integrate into Rush and, you know, to care about the town and to participate in it and decide what direction they want the town to go in. So Kinnear Woods is, you know, is really getting a lift, I suppose. And one of the things that we're doing on the 11th of June is Rush Library has created a story trail in Kinnear Woods there in Rush. So we're going to launch that day. So so there'll be a lovely book trail around Kinnear Woods where you can follow with your kids, follow the whole story around. And we did a launch like that back in during COVID there. It was in Argyll and Castle and Skerries. So this is the next one. So a new book, new experience. So I encourage people to come down and read a new book.
So let's talk about a little bit about the funding. So, I mean, how easy was it to get the Urbact funding for the project?
Well, like that, with Urbact, there really is no funding. So it's kind of, I suppose people find that a bit unnerving. You go into a project and there's no capital funding to do anything. And I can remember the first meeting we had with the community and we said, you're not getting a playground. You know, we don't have the money to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the only money that comes with Urbact is basically to interact with your peers in the rest of the network.
Right.
You know, so, you know, if you have to travel down to Cork to see what Cork did, you can go down to Cork and you can come back.
Mm.
all of the things about this particular program, this transfer network, is about getting the right people in the room.
Yeah.
So, you know, that has been really, really useful. We had a representative from our libraries, Fingal Libraries, in the group, and they're responsible for Creative Ireland events. And so they were able to signpost us and say, well, if you want to hold an event, and we wanted to do art classes for seniors and Lego for kids. And they signposted us to find that money through Creative Ireland. So that was fantastic. And then because we had people involved from our events unit, they signposted us towards Life Performance Support Scheme 2021. So that was fantastic because we got a good amount of money there and we were able to run events at Christmas. And we had the Healthy Ireland coordinator as well on board. And she had some funding left over and she was able to supply us with some funding to buy equipment like bowls for seniors and chalk for our event on the 11th of June. So all of that funding came from having the right people in the right room. So the things that the local authority are doing are fairly minimal.
Yeah.
We have we've kind of had a few pictures taken and we have it up on the website and things like that. So we gave them a web page and we've been giving bits and pieces of support, but it's very low level support in terms of what's going on. Most of this is done by the volunteers in the community.
Right.
The local councillors have been very strong, Rush Community Council, Rush Tidy Towns. It's pretty much down to them driving the project and they've really just taken the project to heart and fallen in love with it, if you will, and they've really just opened their eyes to see their home and their local town in a new way, which is fantastic.
Yeah, so I mean there's a lot of networking involved, isn't it? It's about putting you in contact with the right people and having this sea of people, do you know what I mean, that you can go to for different things.
Exactly, it's all about building relationships, and you know that's going to be really strong for Rush into the future because people will be aware of URDF funding and ORDF funding where, you know, you're doing big regenerations like we are in Balbriggan. You know, so we're building those relationships with the community now so that we can leverage that funding into the future. So it'll be good to have that basis that you can pick up the phone and talk to people and say, what do you need? What needs to happen to uplift the town and, you know, make sure that it can develop sustainably into the future. So it's really great that we have that base now and we understand how each other thinks and how we like to operate and, you know, that we can pick up the phone to each other and say, I'd like to do this. I'd like to do the other thing. Can I have your support? And, you know, it's brought in a range of stakeholders. You know, it's brought in Fingal SIPSI, the LCDC, Healthy Ireland. You know, it's really leveraged relationships that weren't really there. Like, you know, our libraries department wouldn't exactly talk to our operational departments and our parks department very much, but because we're in the same room, you know, you're getting really good synergies out of that, and now we know each other and we know how we work together, so hopefully we can build on that into the future.
So I mean, was it a long process from the Cork setup to rolling it out to Rush and the likes of, I think Travis was saying, Sligo, and there's all these different other areas that are getting involved?
Yeah, there's we have Rathdrum, Donegal Town, Sligo Town and Portlaoise involved as well. So they put out the call, I think, last June. And, you know, I think they took about 2 weeks to select the towns.
It happened
so
quick.
Quickly after that. And I think they came out to visit us in Rush in July, if I remember correctly. And, you know, we had the kind of first kind of discussions about what we wanted to do and how we would do it. So part of the URBACT method is, you know, that you take an integrated approach and it's very participative as well. So we had to have all the community people involved. Mm. We have to learn together. And, you know, it helped us set the objectives that we wanted to do, you know. So we wanted to raise awareness of play. We wanted to promote inclusion so that everybody would play from 0 to 99 years plus. We wanted to kind of identify, you know, public play opportunities and to develop that partnership approach. So all the objectives that we have, we're really working towards and delivering. And, you know, we hope, even though the project is due to close officially at the end of December this year, that basis is there. So I don't see the relationship collapsing and everybody walking away.
No.
Kind of embedded into our thinking now, you know. So hopefully it'll become self-sustaining. And the reason it's self-sustaining is because of how involved the local community representatives have been.
Yeah, it's one of those things, isn't it? You've put the building blocks in place, you know, then there's no reason for this not to carry on for, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years down the line. So is there a big team behind you working on the project?
It's I suppose it's a very small team.
Yeah.
Within Fingal County Council. So I would have a small team here at Economic Development who help me do the things. Our community department is really involved because they would have been involved in the community anyway throughout. So they've been really strong representing the various community interests there. And Rush Library has absolutely just been playing a blinder the whole time. It's a fantastic space. I don't know if anyone has ever been to Rush Library, but it is just magnificent. You know, it's in an old church and it's all modern inside, and you know, there's some great equipment there for sensory stuff, and you know, for the elderly, they have an interactive table to help people, you know, with their hand-eye coordination and their things up, you know. So it's a really interesting interesting space there. So they have been absolutely fantastic, and our operations team as well. So all the stuff that we're doing in Kinnear Woods, you know, we wouldn't be able to do that without their help, and you know, going through all the bureaucratic stuff like public procurement and actually posts in to put the signposts up, you know. So the great thing about it is it's really lit a spark internally for the people inside. You know, when we're thinking about things, we think of Rush now when we kind of think of play, and that's kind of where we wanted to get to, that as local authority officials that we would think about play first and think about, well, how do you make it fun, how do you make it a little bit more exciting other than the usual dull stuff, you know. So it's really lit a spark with us, and I think it's lit a spark as well with the community in Rush because they've embraced it so strongly, and you know, all the good work that they were doing already, a lot of it was already kind of in that tone, in terms of they had already done a fairy trail in Kinnear Park. They have fantastic murals spread around the town as well. It's really, you walk by the public toilets or something like that and you see a fantastic mural and you're like, oh my God, who did that? It's absolutely fantastic. So, you know, they have that creative spark anyway, and this kind of talks to it because it's so creative.
Yeah, yeah. No, we need to give a nudge, don't we, to all these other county councils. You know, Dublin City Council should be doing... Should be doing a bit more for the city, I think, in that respect. Thank you so much for chatting with me today, Aoife. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks very much for having me, Paula.
So that's all from us this week. Thank you so much to my guests, Travis O'Doherty and Aoife Sheridan. You can listen again to our interviews for this series at nearfm.ie/podcast. You can email us at europe@near.ie. Join us again, same time next week, 4:30 to 5 p.m. here on Near FM.